Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. Welcome, I'm Sabrina and I am in Glen Spey, New York in the Sullivan County Catskills, about an hour from my home in Liberty, New York, and I am at the Mountain View Lodge for the potluck benefit for Frack the Movie by David Morris, and all kinds of people joined me in the Little Beeline Camper for Trailer Talk, including David Morris, the filmmaker, Bruce Ferguson and Jill Wiener from Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy, singer-songwriter Vanessa Carlton, Paul Rubin, a hydrogeologist, and many more people that I will be sharing those conversations with you in the coming weeks. This benefit was sponsored by the Highland Concerned Citizens in the Sullivan County Catskills. It's April 2nd, 2011. Come in, David.
Welcome.
So thank you for joining us. And this is an event for your film.
So they've been telling me.
I know. You know? So I'd like to know a little bit about, first of all, where do you live? How did you become involved in documenting what's happening for those people living on the shale and with fracking and gas drilling?
Well, I've been coming up to the area for about 20 years or so. I was primarily New York City based. But I can tell you right now, for the last 2 years, I've been based in the Catskills in a tiny place called East Branch.
I know it.
And I'm right along the East Branch of the Upper Delaware River. And it's a place that I love so much. It's obviously one of the most threatened places in the state right now. And that's how I jumped in. I found out that my neighbor had signed the largest lease in Delaware County, 2,800 acres.
And when was this?
This was probably just over 2 years ago, February, March, 2009. Or was it 2008? I can't remember.
How are you choosing even what to focus on? How have you made that decision?
Well, it's like you say, you know, we used to joke that they were coming in parachutes in the middle of the night, like a paramilitary strike force. We first started noticing them when they were building the Millennium Pipeline as well. And what's this? Oh, it's a big pipeline. What for? Natural gas. What natural gas? For me, unfortunately, for Pennsylvania, that's been sort of something I kind of think of as the ghost of Christmas future. If it wasn't for what people have been going through in Pennsylvania, I wouldn't really have much of a movie right now.
So are you finding then that you're focusing on what's gone wrong, what the issues are within the communities?
You know, there's so many issues. I've struggled with trying to simplify it. The more I try to simplify it, the more it loses something. I don't know. So
what do you mean by that?
Well, I find that I've gravitated, even though it makes it a much more complicated piece of film, but I've gravitated towards taking kind of a kitchen sink approach. Somebody call it kind of a collage. Mm-hmm. And it's got footage in there from last week. It's got footage in there from over 2 years ago. Whatever's most relevant, whatever is telling the latest part of the story as well, because it's, as you say, it's so fast.
What for you is catching your attention the most with this issue? And at what point did you take your do you seem to have a stand that you're fighting it, you're showing what goes wrong with it and fighting the fracking and fighting big industry and trying to expose polluted water and health issues and ruptured communities?
All those things. Everything you just said.
Yeah,
it's a lot to keep track of.
It is. Are you finding that there's something, though, that's anchoring it for you personally as you're shooting and meeting people and traveling all over the region?
I have a moment in my film where I have someone on camera asking if people remember when they were in school, perhaps, and they learned about what we did in South America and Africa and third world countries, come in there, really damage the health of the people there damage the environment. I turn around and I see in my backyard the potential for that happening, a third world kind of energy extraction wasteland. That's what you arrive at when you start looking at all the bits that add up to the big picture.
And where are you with the shooting right now? I know you're going to share with us some of your footage tonight.
Well, it's really, I'm sharing you a version of the movie. I've shown several versions thus far, starting off in the smaller venues and getting a read, see if people like it or it makes sense. I'm ready for screenings. I'm ready. You can beat down my door and want a screening in your town, your city, your state. There's a version that I have specially for these public events. That's about an hour in length. It goes well if you want to have it combined with some kind of a panel or, you know, community discussion.
As you say, this is in your backyard now. Is the other work that you've done, has it been so personal for you?
I would say definitely not. I haven't shied away from controversial topics. I worked on a healthcare documentary that I directed about 2 years ago. I was in Darfur in 2003, 2004. My camera taken away from me and smashed right in front of me. They did leave me my still camera for some reason. I also have I've worked on a few nature documentaries, much of a much less controversial nature regarding the environment. I would say this is my first really up close and personal kind of picture. That said, I didn't really want to be the star of it either. I am just naturally inclined to be a fly on the wall.
This, as you're describing then, is very personal. What would you say for you is what you'd like to share with people who aren't aware of what's going on with natural gas drilling and the issues that we're facing?
I would say become aware as quickly as you can. I'm still surprised how many people I meet that aren't that aware. My head is way too deep into it, and I have to come up for air occasionally and realize that that's the case and that there's still more. I mean, sometimes I feel like throwing my hands up in the air and saying, who am I trying to reach? Everyone that needs to be reached has been reached around here, but you find out that it's not true. And then obviously this is an area I've been speaking to farmers up here who are trying to save their dairy farms, and there's a huge opportunity for this area to rebound. I've been speaking to people from New York City who want to start a whole kind of new business model for local farms, you know, milk marketed in the city, marketed as Sullivan County, Delaware County, nearby upstate New York. I'm afraid that it might not happen. They're not going to want to come here and get the milk if there's any question about the health and of the environment here and polluted water.
So speaking of water, and we're both wearing these blue ribbons to represent clean, pure water that is available for everyone, and water under threat right now because of natural gas drilling. So I've been asking people questions about water, so I'd like to ask them of you. What was the closest body of water to you when you were growing up?
Oh, that's great. Well, this is where it comes out that I'm not really much of a native. I grew up in California.
So did I. Where did you grow up?
So I used to live...
we were neighbors.
I grew up in sort of the coast. I would say the coast. Topanga Canyon.
Oh, okay.
And,
so Los Angeles area.
For a while, when I was an infant, I was too young to remember, we rented a broken-down old apartment on the beach in Malibu. And now it's the property's occupied by a $50 million mansion that Cher lives in.
So would that have been the Pacific then?
The Pacific Ocean. It's interesting. I don't think I came early to developing an environmental sense. I do have the memories of the problems they had out there with untreated sewage and, you know, there were alerts where you couldn't go swimming. Heal the bay. You couldn't go in the bay after a rainstorm because you would catch some horrible disease.
Yeah. And also being there where in Southern California the water is being brought in from Colorado and that conflict and debate.
True.
Water droughts, shortages and droughts.
We weren't not that we had a lawn, but if we had one, we weren't allowed to water it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's interesting. And what about the body of water that's the farthest away that you've ever visited from where you live?
Oh, goodness.
Hi.
Hello.
Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy. Oh, they have arrived.
At last. We're safe.
And I hope you join me, Bruce Ferguson. Okay, good.
I would say that was probably the Red Sea. That used to be a kind of a diving mecca. Maybe it still is, but it's kind of troubled waters, so to speak, over there these days.
So, back the movie. And this is part of the Highland Concerned Citizens group that is gathering and giving you this support here. And I'm curious, where are you at with the movie? What are your needs? What are you looking for to continue to create the film?
It's a difficult situation that exists in agriculture in this area. And I really want to, as far as content for the film, I'm really looking to speak to more people and get as well-rounded and as complete a picture as I can get from all kinds of perspectives, and you know, from organic farmers, conventional farmers. I'm going to Pennsylvania to visit some people that supposedly have radioactive cows.
And where's that?
It's in Tioga County. Supposedly that they have 17 young cows that need to be quarantined because they have strontium in their bones. And
it's these the cows that drank the water?
Is that yes, the from a spill, from a spill at a drilling site. Mm-hmm. So there's that aspect of just a direct health effect. I've just become so interested in lots of issues in this area, and it's led me to meet so many different people from different communities. So the farmers is one. I'm also trying to cover what can be done. I had some people remark that they saw, you know, I've made a trailer for this film, which is available at frackthemovie.com, sort of a longer trailer, what they call a teaser. Some people have seen it and said, you know, I just can't stand this, be this depressed. And I made the teaser because I wanted to, you know, provoke people, but that's what you're supposed to do, I think. But I'm trying to speak to more and more people who are active in doing something about this so that you don't have just a completely helpless feeling about it.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with me?
I would like to say that I am trying to develop a feature version of this film as well and try to get into some festivals. Thanks so much for having me. This is great.
I've been speaking with the filmmaker of Frack, the movie, David Morris, and we are here tonight for a benefit for his film. People are starting to arrive. I see no fracking signs going into the Mountain View Lodge. We're in Glens Bay, New York. Bruce Ferguson from Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy, a volunteer-based organization in Sullivan County, New York, that is fighting fracking and providing outreach and education around issues on natural gas drilling. Bruce Ferguson from Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy. What's happening right now? All kinds of things are escalating with the Delaware River Basin Commission. Why don't you share with us, first of all, what the mission is for the Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy? And we've spoken over the years since its formation. It's, what, a little over 3 years now?
Yeah, we've been in business, if you want to use that word, for 3 years. To us, it's very clear what our job is, what we have to do. We have three scientific polls that prove that when people find out about fracking, they will reject it. We know that for a fact. We have the Empire State poll from Cornell last year. We have a private study done by Earth Justice. And we have the Civil Society Institute poll that came out in December. They all show that 2 out of 3 people who find out about fracking absolutely say, no way, the rewards are not worth the risk. The other side of that is, 3 years ago, no one knew about fracking. No one had ever heard of the Marcellus Shale. Today, 8 million New Yorkers are aware of it. Most of them do not want it. Our job is to educate the other 8 million. If we can make people aware of the issue, we don't have to hit them over the head. Just give them the facts. They will insist that this not go forward. We looked at the vertical wells in New York that are supposedly these low-volume fracking operations, 20 to 80,000 gallons of fracking fluid as described by the DEC. They're actually high-volume operations with up to 2/3 of a million gallons of fracking fluid in the vertical wells. We already have 2 dozen Marcellus wells in New York State, and they're being fracked with multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars of fracking fluid. It's a myth that we've held off high-volume fracking, held off horizontal wells, but high-volume fracking is going on every day in New York.
And
every
where is day it there's going a new on? Well.
In the Marcellus Shale, in all of western New York. There's wells in Otsego County, I believe, Shenango County, I believe in Broome County. There's a new well permit issued every day in New York, and almost every one of those wells is being fracked.
So what can we do? Because as you say, it's a myth to say then that we've held off on fracking. So it's the horizontal fracturing.
We've held off on super high volume, but we have not held off on high volume. We want to ask Commissioner Martens to halt all fracking in New York until new regulations are made. And if it can be done safely, it should be all controlled by the new regulations that come out, not mm-hmm. by regulations that were made 20 years ago that didn't even envision the kind of fracking mm-hmm. that's going on now.
So speaking of this kind of fracking, you're talking about millions of gallons of water that are being used, millions of gallons of chemicals that are being fracked, poured down to extract this natural gas. What does this mean? Because we know that people will say it's been happening. This has been done since 1949. It's been done safely. New York has had these wells. So let's hear the voice of knowledge right now about really what this kind of technique is and what kind of damage we're talking about and what's at stake. Jill Wiener from Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy is now joining us.
The 1992 New York State rules, as Bruce just said, never envisioned this volume of water, nor the slick water. So it was never for this chemical fracture. You know, now they're operating under these new, with these new sort of procedures or new technologies under the old rules.
That's right. You will not find, you try on the, in the 1992 document, you will not find the word slick water because it hadn't been invented yet. It's an absolute industry lie to say they've been doing this since 1949. What they're doing today, they began doing a couple of years ago in Texas. It's a very new technology, and every place it's been done, there have been massive problems. It's a lie that it's an old technology, and it's a lie that it's been done without mm-hmm. without damage.
And when we were speaking about the damage, polluted wells, loss of well water, complete loss, pollution, what other things can you share with us? So again, people understand what's at stake.
You know, there are certain things that you can see. You can see sick and actually deformed livestock being born. You can see skin rashes that people get from showering and bathing. You can see that people are getting sick, but what you can't actually really physically see is the devastation to community and economy. So you're talking about a high impact industrial activity that's going to come into these rural communities, and that has come into rural communities in places in Colorado and all across the country. They're fracking in 34 states now, and the economies are completely upended, and it's now no longer a rural economy. And here in Sullivan County, we rely on three industries. We rely on the tourism industry, agriculture, and healthcare. And out of those three industries, well, for sure, tourism, forget it. Nobody's going to come and want to see a well and a bunch of roustabouts or stay in a man camp. Agriculture, same thing. You just cannot produce clean food or clean milk without clean water and clean right. air. It just doesn't happen. And we're the food shed for New York City. Healthcare may benefit because
and
in the end,
watershed.
Yeah. Because we'll all get sick, and so healthcare has some opportunities here, but nobody else does. And you know, the whole sort of preposterous idea that there's a workforce that's going to come out of our local people is also not true, because the workforce is imported from Texas and Oklahoma. These are very specific jobs on the well sites.
It's the boom and the bust as well. It's not a sustainable
exactly.
economy of any kind.
No, it's totally not sustainable. And the money goes back to their homes, because these are just sort of random workers that come in and then, you know, send their money home. The only local jobs may be, a couple of restaurants will do well, a couple of, hardware stores, gravel pits, and, maybe a few security jobs will come.
So...
Let me just add one thing to that. I mean, Bradford County, Pennsylvania, is now bragging about the economic boom in their county. They're saying, look, all our motels are full. Now, you can say that's good, but if the workers were being hired locally, why would the motels be full? The motels are full because they're bringing in the workers from out of state to do the high-paying, specialized jobs. And like Jill said, I went over to the well that's... across the river there are
across
the security,
the
one by in Abrahamsville winter.
In Abrahamsville, PA.
Spent a long time talking to the security guard there. He said, this is great. And I lucked out. I got the 9-to-5 shift. He's standing at the gate in the weather. That's the local job. That's the reality of the local job. Exactly what Jill said. The security guards, yeah. And if you own a hardware store or a gravel pit or a trucking company, you may do well. But for new jobs in a new industry, ain't going
to
happen.
Right. So, Bruce and Jill, mm-hmm. what has compelled you to take this on, to be a part of this grassroots volunteer organization, Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy, to give your time, I mean a lot of your time, your effort, your energy? Why? Why are you doing this? What do you feel that your mission is personally at this point?
Well, I think it landed. I know it landed on me. I didn't go out looking for this. I retired up here and planned to read a lot of books and garden, travel, and this hit me over the head, and it has taken over my life. But it has also given me the most wonderful experience with the people I've met, you, Jill. These are people I would not have known you guys except for this. It's been a marvelous experience. I also think when I go to a meeting and people are testifying, say before the DEC or the DRBC, and I hear people get up and say all these smart, wonderful things they say, I'm just happy to be here.
When you share that, Bruce, I feel also that in the middle of something that is so cataclysmic and so frightening and so upsetting on everything, you know, every level, there's also something incredible about the fortitude of the community and the people that I've met and continue to meet, and coming together not only for people's own lives, not for their personal interest necessarily, I mean, in some cases, of course, to protect their homes, their water, their health, their assets, their community, but it's something that I'm finding that's much larger. And that is what keeps me going personally, because otherwise it's just devastating. And there is this feeling of, well, let me get the hell out.
Well, there's nowhere to go. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't think I haven't looked.
The voice of Pollyanna over here.
I'm sorry, but there is nowhere to go. You know, you look around the country and around the world, and everywhere is either shale or tar sands or something. There's something to be extracted out from beneath almost everybody's feet. And, you know, the thing that motivated me in the very beginning was sort of the outrage that this could actually happen. And instead of bolting up, sitting up straight at night and saying, oh my God, I became very active. And the more I do, the better I feel. And the more I put the truth out there and we educate the public and the people through, you know, every right. and possible way, the better I feel about our prospects here. And, you know, for me, it's the same thing as Bruce. I already knew a lot of people. Bruce, I think, was a little bit of a hermit and used to grunt at me at the post office when I would run into him. Oh, yeah, a person. But, in fact, I already was pretty social and involved in a lot of things in the community and between the farmers market and the visitors association and really getting out there. But this has galvanized people in this community from you know, people who have been born and raised here with multi-generations behind them, to people who have just moved in and it's all of a sudden, oh my goodness, what are we going to do here? And the cross-section of our membership and our supporters and the people who support this cause is so diverse and wonderful. And it's a very much a we philosophy and not a me and I. And it is about mm-hmm. the community and the country, and it's actually, I think, the most patriotic thing that we can do is to fight on this front. And then we're fighting, if we can win this battle here, we move it further on. So if we protect just our corner of the Delaware River Basin, then we move this fight on. It has been a domino effect coming from the west to the east, and we're going to push those dominoes up, re-upend them, and push them back.
We've really made a real effort to not be motivated by fear in what we do. We don't try and scare people or make it sound worse than it is. We're great pains to identify positive things that can be done and to be absolutely truthful about the information. We don't exaggerate. There's no need to exaggerate here. And because of that, we say to people, if you're fearful or you're worried or this is keeping you up at night, you're not doing enough. I think we all find, those of us who are involved in this, we don't worry. We know that there's 10 things to do each day, and that's far more important than sitting around fretting about it. So if someone out there is worried, get involved and you'll stop worrying and you'll make a positive contribution.
Well, get involved and then tell your friends and tell them to tell their friends and so on. And so it was a commercial once, but really, and so on and so on, because this is how we're going to win. We're going to win through education and by educating each other. And it's very much a lot of it, a one-on-one sort of educational experience.
I've been asking people three questions about water. I don't think I've asked either of you these questions. So have I? I don't think so.
No, I don't know.
Okay. What was the closest body of water to you when you were growing up, and what was your relationship to it?
Muscoot Reservoir. It was across the street from where I lived, and I went fishing almost every day in the spring and summer and fall.
Where was that?
In Katona, New York. And it's a wonderful little reservoir. And actually, there's an interesting story about Katona, because it was one of the first planned towns in America, because in 1900, when they decided to build the Muscoot as part of the Croton Reservoir system for New York City, they flooded the town. And so they used horses to drag all the houses in the town up on the hill, and they laid them out and said, oh, we can really do this nicely. And they laid out their streets in advance and actually planned the community. But I used to go along the edge, and the road I lived on was a little community called Whitlockville. And I'd find the foundations, particularly when the water and reservoir was low, I'd find Indian head pennies and pieces of crockery and old foundations. That was marvelous. It just felt like an Indiana Jones. You know, it was wonderful.
Sounds it. Thank you, Bruce.
So I grew up on Long Island, and very close to the Long Island Sound and Udall's Cove and places that were dirty that we actually cleaned up. But the water that I really remember most was a little creek across the street from my elementary school, which was filled with horseshoe crabs. And wow. It was the most prehistoric. I mean, they used to, you know, initially they totally freaked us out, you know. But I just think back to that and how cool they were. I mean, it was like, you know, they were dinosaurs.
Wow, that's amazing. Horseshoe crabs.
Horseshoe crabs. Yeah. Coolest things ever.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to save the other two questions.
We'll be back.
Because you're going to be back. I'm going to save them.
This is going to go on for a few more years.
Yes.
Yeah. We've got some time.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you both.
Thank you.
So
much.
From the kitchen table out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artel. To find out more about the movie Frack, please go to www.frackthemovie.com. And to find out more about Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy, please go to www.catskillcitizens.org. Trailer Talk gratefully acknowledges the Park Foundation, the New York State Council on the Arts, and the Puffin Foundation for the generous support of our work. And special thanks to the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance in Narrowsburg, New York. In addition, it's contributions from people like you that make this project possible. Please go to www.trailertalk.net and talk to us. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artel. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artel. Safe travels.